This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at BarnettJake. On today's show, WWE and including LGBT characters. Want more from ProWrestling.net? Make sure you sign up for .net membership, where, on Friday, you will hear Jason Powell and Zach Zimmerman talk on .net Weekly about the state of the NXT roster, all of the recent news and notes in wrestling, and so much more, often breaking first-run news in that show. .net Weekly is pretty cool. Also, you get ad-free access to the site, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month, you get all of our audio updates. That's pretty sweet, right? ProWrestling.net membership. Make sure to go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and you can be signed up instantly. And now, on with the show. So, Jake, an interesting thing came out this week. Stephanie McMahon said to NBC News, their LGBT division, I believe called the NBC Out, in an interview she did with them. Let me pull up the exact quote here. We will integrate LGBT characters into our programming, and I do think there will be an opportunity to integrate some of those storylines in the near future. I read this, and part of me, honestly, is really excited because I think representation is super important, as we're going to get into in this conversation. But part of me is also a little bit afraid because I see how WWE handles issues around LGBT inclusivity, as we'll get into, and as I wrote about on when it came to Monday's Raw. I don't know that they're ready to do that. I don't know that they have the sensitivity required to do that. And I'm really interested to get your perspective and opinion on what you think of this Stephanie McMahon quote.
I did find the quote a little premature. I mean, obviously she's the brand ambassador, and it's her role to get out there and talk about initiatives inside the company and try to put a positive spin on, you know, what they're trying to do, you know, from a corporate perspective. But I mean, they really haven't done this before in a meaningful way other than, you know, pejoratively. Like I can't remember a time when I've seen, you know, a positive role model. You know, it's generally just been used as either really cheap storyline fodder or making, you know, LGBT, you know, jokes towards characters in a disparaging way. Like, can you think of a positive role model that they've ever described in a, you know, in an LGBT sense, other than when they've been promoting their own initiatives, like their GLAAD partnership back in 2011 and whatnot?
Yeah, the only person, I mean, the only out wrestling character I can think of right now is Darren Young, who his sexuality has never been mentioned on WWE television. It's kind of a web exclusive, if you will.
That's fine if that's what he wants.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he should be forced into it in any way, but they have a whole lot of straight romances on WWE TV. A long, long history of them dating back to Hillbilly Jim. And not a single actual gay romance in there? It seems a little strange when WWE prides itself as this entertainment company that presents these things. Other than that, I have to go to Billy and Chuck when I think of two characters for any length of time being presented as gay, and they made that an entire joke with the commitment ceremony they did with them that ended in a kind of an offensive manner.
Well, and the fact that they were essentially, they started out being somewhat ambiguously gay, like the Saturday Night Live
duo
skit.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, at the end it was revealed that they essentially just had, they realized what had happened and they just ran with it. And then they didn't know how to back out of it. So they just kept going forward with it, you know? And so it was like, well, this is insulting. And then, you know, the other relationship that jumps to mind is Mickey James and Trish Stratus. And that was completely non-consensual. So it's like,
yeah,
well, we don't
and
really
they ran
have this
from that quick.
Right. I mean, it's like, we don't have this rich history of LGBT storylines, you know, putting, you know, something out front that you would say, oh, you know, I think this is inclusive and I think, you know, fans that that identify with any of these categories would feel good about this. Like, I just don't see a lot of, you know, oh, well, we can hold this up as the example. And I think that stretches out into, you know, the greater pro wrestling landscape in general. I just don't see a lot of it out there. And so I'm curious as to what Stephanie meant by this. And, you know, I get the impression that she wants it to seem, you know, like a good PR opportunity and something positive that the company wants to do. But from an implementation standpoint, I see nothing but like gigantic red flags here. And I hope they do it right, but I just have zero confidence.
I look at it and I even think about, which I've gotten a lot of response for writing about the Bert and Ernie joke that Enzo and Cass made on Monday night, kind of making it seem like homosexuality is a negative trait. And some people have given me flack about it. Some people have said, yeah, no, that's right. Like, you can't do that. And I think it's really interesting that comment was made on Raw and then this comes out this week. WWE has conditioned their audience to laugh at the very idea of homosexuality in a character. I was sitting in the audience on Monday night, and I listened to people laugh because, oh, ha ha, yeah, those guys are gay with each other, was the general feel and vibe in the crowd. I don't know that WWE has an audience that is ready to accept an LGBT romance on television, like that is ready to accept a romance that isn't straight man and straight woman together, but has any sort of fluidity in the sexuality of it, or even is just two men who are coming together in a romantic way. There's history to show wrestling fans don't respond well to this. I think wrestling fans, one of the generalizations you can make that I've found not to be entirely true is that they are very, for lack of a better word, socially conservative. They believe, they tend to believe that, marriage is man and a woman or however you feel about that. But I've found a lot of very open-minded wrestling fans in my travels and my journeys. I've found and maybe this is me self-selecting a community, but I've found a wonderful array of people who believe wrestling is great and so is equality. And this is something I would really love to see in wrestling. It's something I think WWE could do well, but I am really quite afraid that they won't.
Well, and I thought the interesting follow-up statement that Stephanie made was, and I'll read this from our website, we've had GLAAD come in and speak to our entire writing team and give a whole tutorial on sensitivities, the right words, the wrong words, and why those words matter. And the thing that jumped out to me about that is like, well, so you really don't have anybody on the writing team who knows how to speak to this, you know, natively, like in their own words. And to me, that's like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't want a bunch of people who have no idea or experience with, you know, this lifestyle and how, you know, people in this situation, you know, who identify as lesbians or gay or transgender, you know, interact with the real world and how they've been prejudiced against in their life or how they've formed their own interpersonal relationships. I mean, how are you going to speak to this with nobody on your writing staff, or at least, you know, nobody that she's mentioned on her writing staff, that can actually talk about this in a way that reflects their own life experience? And that's a huge red flag to me. Like, oh my God, they're going to have GLAAD come in and have, you know, somebody, you know, give an advice, having somebody with an advisory role who maybe they can run ideas across. But I mean, that there's nobody here that's going to be speaking from their own experience and can kind of instill that into a character. And I think that's going to be a huge problem if they want to roll this out in a way that people who are LGBT fans of WWE can I actually identify with. I mean, the one thing that I've learned, you know, from having friends over the years who are part of this community is that they don't like being pandered to, and they can sniff out somebody who has no idea what they're talking about in less than 5 seconds.
Yeah, and I think that's true with any community, especially one that's been marginalized the way LGBT communities have. And I'm sorry if people are listening to this thinking, oh dear God, this is not what I go to wrestling podcasts for. But it's, those, I do theater, and theater has a wonderful gay community in it. Theater is one of the things stereotyped as gay. And I have like so many close friends that are gay, and it's true. It's that they can sniff out a fake. They can sniff out pandering. They know when they are being pandered to, and they don't want that. And I don't think WWE should do that. At the same time, I think there's something wonderful about presenting a story with a gay character. Even if it's just, hey, in these personality profiles on them, you see that they're gay. That's really great, because it gives LGBT people an aspirational character that they can look up to, as opposed to, say, an aspirational character like Enzo or Big Cass saying, I'm making jokes, laughing at the very idea of homosexuality, like what happened on Monday night. I think there is something really strong and powerful there, and I believe representation matters in forms of entertainment, even a form that some people may think is as silly as pro wrestling. Because if representation didn't matter, why would there be so many straight romances in pro wrestling? Why would you see so many romances between men and women if people didn't want to see that kind of thing represented?
That's a good point. And I think, you know, the key to success, at least in my mind, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, and I would encourage anybody who who is LGBT and has an opinion on this to reach out and let us know, because I'm not speaking from firsthand experience, but I think, you know, the characters that will probably, you know, find the most success if they want to go down this path are the people who, you know, it doesn't become the only thing that they're known for. You know, I think WWE makes that mistake where, you know, a lot of the time where characters are ultimately defined by one characteristic. And I think they can't do that with sexuality, because it'd be so shallow and it'll be so kind of gross to watch that. And I don't mean that from, you know, that I'm homophobic in any way. I just mean that, you know, I just don't want to see somebody go out there and turn that into their entire personhood. You know, it would be silly and patronizing. And so I hope they find a way to make somebody who is not only accomplished and successful, but, you know, that also happens to be one other dimension of who they are, because they can find success that way, and it won't come across as, well, we wanted to make a gay character because, you know, it fits all these PR checkboxes. I think that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think there's there's a fine line that would have to be walked here. And this is really the challenge of WWE, who often fails at nuance. Let's say it's not PR. Let's say there's a genuine desire somewhere in WWE to represent the LGBT community on screen. I think that's wonderful. It's a great thing to do. It's absolutely something I think WWE should be commended for doing, if that's where the desire is. If it's, we want to represent this group of people because, as Vince McMahon says about WWE, we are Americana. So how do you do it? And how do you do it where it's not all they are? Where it's, yes, they're a character that is homosexual, and we don't shy away from that, but we also don't... that's not the only thing about them. It's not all about the fact that they are homosexual. There are various different things and nuances in this character. And honestly, it's that WWE has to build characters well. They have to build characters with more than one or two defining traits. And especially in this instance, they need to build characters that show a diverse range of humanity in them. And I get so cautious whenever I think of WWE having to build characters in a compelling nature, because it's something they so often fail at. But in this instance, and maybe it's because this is an issue I am particularly passionate about, I want them to succeed. I want them to try, and I want them to succeed, and I want to see this happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if it's done well, you know, it could be a huge boon for WWE, because representation is important, and people need to feel like they can watch characters on a television show that they can identify with. And this is just another facet of somebody's character that could potentially, you know, get more people to, you know, to jump on board and pay attention to what WWE is doing. I think they, you know, they are doing a lot of things right lately, and things do seem to be improving, and I hope that continues. And I hope, you know, they don't force this on, you know, their writers as some kind of mandate. Let's just have them bring it, you know, bring this type of stuff into the show where it fits and where it makes sense, and when they've had a lot of time to think about it and plan it correctly, and hopefully that can, you know, it can lead to a major turning point where a lot of people feel represented on the program that currently aren't.
Yeah, and I think this works in all aspects. I mean, I'm not calling for diversity in just one aspect of WWE programming. Something I thought was remarkable. I watched the Cruiserweight Classic last night. I can't remember an hour of WWE programming I have watched where not a single white wrestler was presented. And it's not something, and they didn't make a big deal about it. It wasn't, this is diversity hour in WWE. It was just effortless diversity. It just said, this is who these people are. Let's watch them. Let's watch these amazing matches. They're awesome. They're wonderful athletes, and they're great. Holy crap, that's exactly what I want. I want to see a diverse community of wrestlers, not just racially, but as far as gender goes, I would love to see that kind of diversity in WWE. And of course, as we're talking today about sexuality, I really, really appreciated that in particular watching this. And that's what I think WWE could do, and there are certain formats that works better in. I would say actually an LGBT wrestler in something like the Cruiserweight Classic would work exceptionally well.
Yeah, that'd be a good place to, you know, to kind of incubate, you know, this kind of thing and see, you know, how they can make it work everywhere on the show. And if it, you know, forcing it in places is not, you know, something I think they should do. I think, you know, diversity representation, how they plan the next several years of WWE is something that's very important. And I think they're going to need to move towards a show that appeals to the widest, you know, group of people possible. And that's going to include, you know, diversity in all categories, not only, you know, race or ethnicity, but gender and sexuality and everything that comes along with that. So I think it's promising that Stephanie McMahon is out there talking about this.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, in the future when this, you know, gets from, you know, theory to practicality and implementation, that they're able to do so with a little bit more sophistication and grace than normally comes across.
Yeah, I think there is definitely something here that says, hey, WWE needs to, that there is a lot that they need to do that is just saying, hey, humanity is diverse, athletics are diverse, wrestling is diverse. Here you go. And I wonder, too, if part of that is a generational thing. Stephanie McMahon is out there saying that. We've seen, and I know she's the brand ambassador and all that, but I know there is a big generational divide when it comes to the acceptance of homosexuality. Like, not that, again, maybe someone's listening to this and throwing their phone across the room and they're mad at me for being too liberal, but I tend to say, how do you not accept it, dum-dum? That's my personal opinion. That does not reflect the opinion of this website. Although from discussions with Jason, I'm pretty sure it does. So I look at it and I go, yeah, humanity itself is diverse. Let's make wrestling a diverse community that brings everyone in. And this, to me, is a wonderful way to do that. Anything else to add as we finish up this conversation? I hope people aren't too angry at us today, Jake, but I also don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you've gotten some feedback from people, you know, not all of it positive, clearly, about your article that you wrote earlier this week, and maybe we'll get some feedback, you know, about this podcast. But I think, you know, the future of WWE, you know, whether people like it or not, is going to be a show that is not exclusively, you know, muscle bound, white males of a certain age group, you know, and fans are not going to be, you know, white males of a certain age group, in certain parts of the United States. And I think it's turning into a global brand. It's going to be a global show. You know, they're including superstars in the Cruiserweight Classic from all over the world, and it's going to include people that don't necessarily, you know, look like what wrestling fans look like a decade or two decades ago. And that's absolutely, you know, a perfect evolution. You know, it needs to reflect the world around us, and hopefully that, you know, translates into a much more interesting and colorful show. Because yeah. I think that as a fan of fiction in general, and as a fan of wrestling, I think there's a lot of unexplored territory that WWE misses out on because of the limited scope in which they cater their show. And bringing in more people of different ethnic backgrounds, different sexualities, different age groups, you know, these things can create different flashpoints where you can tell very interesting stories around this. And so I hope they get there. And I really do think that, you know, the fact that we have a younger generation taking over, not only creatively, but, in the executive area of the WWE, that, you know, maybe we'll get there. And I hope we do.
Yeah, I agree. You kind of said everything better than I could there. I feel inadequate now. Thank you so much, Jake. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us today. And we promise to be a little less political and a little more wrestling-oriented on the show tomorrow, folks. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!